This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
I'm Tom Cliff, creator of the world-famous online stand-up bingo, which started out its life at Northampton Town Football Club. Join me every Saturday at 2:15pm on the Cafe Track Facebook page for your chance to be crowned stand-up bingo champion of the world. Every ticket purchased goes towards keeping Cafe Track and Track NN a social enterprise dedicated to helping people to access work experience and hopefully employment. Buy your ticket now at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Make sure you leave your chosen 15 numbers between 1 and 90 in the comment section and then play along live on the Saturday afternoons before the Cobblers game. So go to buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack now and get your ticket for the world famous stand-up bingo.
Brain again. And he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3! Yeah! Yes! Yes! Get
it! Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. Thanks very much for pressing play on this week's preview show. As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny, who is here right with me, but also later on we're joined by a Shrewsbury fan. But Danny, I've got some big news for you.
Oh yeah.
There's been a new addition in the Commons household.
All right.
Now I know that we're not doing this. No, I've not got any chickens. No. I know that we're not doing this on like Zoom or anything where we can see each other, but I'm holding up as if you can see it. My brand new Chlorofortum Camozum Ocean. Basically, it's a nice plant for my office.
Nice. It's lovely. I have no idea. I thought it was like a new line signing that we've just brought in or something.
But no, no, no. It's do you remember not. The Rugrats?
Yeah.
Do you remember Chucky from the Rugrats?
Yeah.
Remember his hair?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bit like that, but green.
Nice.
Yeah, that is the height of the excitement of this week, considering there's been no
incredible
game.
Incredible news. Well, we haven't got a Tuesday night game to
cry about.
Like, depress the opposition fan with this week, have we? So,
no, it is.
We might as well talk about your plant instead.
Yeah, well, exactly. I just thought plant life, that'd do. Yeah. I'm sure that'll get 10 minutes filled. That'd be lovely. maybe not. How are you, mate? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah. Still surviving protests of Bristol, which has gone quite mad over the last couple of days.
I was going to say, it's gone off a little bit
since
you've moved there.
You know me, Charles. Wherever I go, a protest follows.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm glad you're okay. The one thing that I want to ask you is, have you got more depressed since we recorded on Sunday for the normal weekly show? Or have you, a bit like me, settled down into more of a, you know, kind of relaxed, I was going to say forgiving. I'm not forgiving, but sort of just balanced, accepted mood.
Yeah, definitely got it out of our system on Saturday, on Sunday on the recording, didn't we? And I think that was a nice form of therapy for me to get that out of my system. And I think you're right, it's just kind of a resigned sense now at the moment, isn't it? Until we come up with another magic 3 points from somewhere again and then giving us all hope and the cycle begins again. But I'm not expecting it. I mean, for Dane Oliver's done us a nice little favour tonight by scoring the only goal against Wigan to keep them at fingers length.
I was going to say, it's not quite arm's length, is it?
No, not really.
Definitely fingers.
Yeah.
We're recording on Wednesday night, as we normally do. So there was that one game, Gillingham against Wigan, which a couple of people in our Slack channel, which is exclusive to our Patreon supporters, by the way, if you want to join us, it's as basically sign up from as little as £2 a month. That'll get you in the Slack, patreon.com/cobblers2me. Yeah, a couple of people have thought, oh, you know, this is Wigan's game in hand. They got a bit excited, didn't they? But it turns out they're not playing on Friday. So as soon as we play this game against Shrewsbury, then we're going to be back, you know, one game advantaged on Wigan and a couple of others.
I need more than that to give me hope, I think.
Joanna? Do you need a Joanna to give you some hope?
Richard, maybe.
Lovely. Well, look, let's just get straight into it this week. We have got no game from Tuesday night, as we said, to talk about. This Friday, which is a good Friday, hopefully it actually will be this year, we're playing a team who I like to actually look at and sort of go, well, do you know what? They're a team similar to us, I think. And we should be always, in my opinion, in the same league as them. I don't think that they are a big team for this league. And I don't think that they're a small team necessarily either. I do see Shrewsbury as being mid-table, League One side, which is where we should really be, I think, as a Cobblers fan at this moment in time. Obviously, we're not, because we're rubbish. But let's get the opinion of a Shrewsbury fan. So let me introduce to you Ollie, who is from the Salopcast. How are you doing, Ollie? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. So I think the best place to start with Shrewsbury right now at this second is just to find out Steve Cottrell. He's obviously not been very well, been in and out of hospital a couple of times. How's he doing?
Yeah, we actually had quite encouraging compared to previous weeks. If you imagine, we get an update most weeks in the press conferences. And as you know, there's normally two press conferences a week, so we get quite regular updates. And we actually had a positive update last week. Dave Longwell, one of the coaches who was doing the press conferences, saying the manager's getting better, he's standing better. And then I saw today that he's doing walks and things like that. So, yeah, he's getting better. Hopefully he'll be ready for next season. I think that's the hope that most Shrewsbury Town fans have, that he'll be ready for next season.
Good. That's good news then. It's one of those horrible, horrible situations. Every now and again, randomly, or not randomly, obviously, but once in a blue moon, you'll hear of a manager that's had to go in and have an operation. There was just last year, I can't remember his name, former Morecambe boss who went to AFC File, Danny.
Bentley, is it?
Jim Bentley. Yeah, I think so. He had a heart operation, I think. And, you know, it's not nice, is it, when that sort of thing happens? And obviously all fans and all people would just send their get well wishes and everything to anybody like that. But with this, it's like, it's proper horrible. And I mean, Steve Cottrell's not really been at the club at Shrewsbury long. And, you know, his first season with you, he's what, featured maybe for half of the time that he's actually been the manager. It's not great, obviously, that he's not been well. So we do obviously wish him a speedy recovery on behalf of everybody that supports Northampton and listens to our podcast. But I mean, the one thing that I want to do is be positive about it. I'm sure he's going to be fine. Hopefully, fingers crossed, he'll be back managing by the end of the season for you. Because he's done an amazing job as well, Ollie. From the outside looking in, he's been a real coup for you to get him as your boss.
Yeah, absolutely huge coup. I'd say he is a championship level manager. Mm-hmm. And there's actually quite a lot of them, though, isn't there, in League One at the moment. But yeah, he's definitely a championship level manager. And I do every so often I update and put it on Twitter. And I call it the Steve Cottrell League Table. and in the Steve Cottrell League Table, so from the 25th of November up to now, we've played 22 games, which is less than virtually every team above us. Some teams have played three more games than us, but we're actually eighth in that league table. So we're 1 point behind Gillingham, but Gillingham have played three more games. So I think that just puts into context, you know, how well we've done. The results we got in November and December when he was around, and it's actually interesting. Well, it's not interesting. It's sad. It's a real shame that he's actually been kind of working from home longer than he was in the dugout. But yeah, what he's done, and then also what Aaron Wilbraham has done, acting as kind of half assistant manager, half manager, has been absolutely phenomenal. And I think also a lot of credit for the players as well, because, you know, they've been working very hard and we've been grinding out those results.
Do you remember his first game in Charles? In Charles.
In Charles, hello.
Do you remember his first? Do you remember his first game in charge, Ollie?
Yeah, I do. It was a Tuesday night game against Accrington Stanley.
Well, because I've got it written down as something else, as the Oxford City.
Oh,
FA
it was
Cup
the Oxford
win.
City. I've always just focused on the league. Sorry, yeah, it was on the Sunday.
You managed to do what we couldn't, so maybe we should have acted earlier and got him in.
I actually watched your game against them as well. That was a heartbreaking game from a Northampton fans' perspective.
Oh, it wasn't. It was just angry. 90 minutes of anger. It was pathetic. I remember just being so angry after that. And yeah, I think you seem to have acted in the right time in terms of getting Cottrell in. How is it actually working with him? Is he phoning like halftime instructions? Is he watching the games?
Yeah, he's. I think one of the reasons why Steve Cottrell's had such a good management career is because of his hard work. So basically, he moved to Shrewsbury from Bristol and never saw his wife again. Basically, he just went to Shrewsbury and didn't see his wife for weeks and weeks and weeks because he's just like absolutely football obsessed. And he's been, spilling tea and ice cream in games when he was in hospital. He's probably on Y Scout now, scouting players, looking at opposition squads. So he has been working really hard. I get the impression that he has toned down a little bit, obviously, since he went back in with COVID pneumonia. But yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic. He still picks a team using feedback and obviously the games that he watches. So he's still very, very heavily involved. We did have a debate on our podcast about whether we should class these games as Steve Cottrell games, but very much they are Steve Cottrell games because he's very, very much involved in making decisions.
That's really interesting because obviously his wife's probably going spare with him and just going, will you just put that down, you know, and just concentrate on getting better. But obviously he is a football man and he really, you know, he still appreciates that he's got a job to do, I suppose. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, what has Steve Cottrell actually done in the time that he's been in charge? So in terms of where you were before, because I know you guys weren't happy with your previous management team towards the end.
No, I actually coined a term in February 2019 called Ricketts Ball. And when you make a term, and we didn't like to talk about ourselves very much on our podcast, we don't do that very often, but we do. I will do it here. When you hear your term on BBC Shropshire, that is quite funny. And yeah, the Shrewsbury fans kind of took to it because the football was turgid. We scored less than a goal a game last season under Ricketts. We had 0.69 points per game this season when he left. So yeah, when Steve Cottrell came in, I never could have imagined we would be where we are now. And what he's done has been absolutely phenomenal. So what has he done? So he really started with the basics. just organisation, and just coaching. So we're quite fortunate. We've got a Shrewsbury Town fan who played professional football a few games for Torquay and Hartlepool and then played non-league. And we have him on every now and again, and he gives us like amazing insight. And he played centre-back, and he was talking about the defender's shoulders not being open and their positioning being wrong, and things like we weren't tracking in after a penalty was taken. Like really little basic stuff. So we got the basics right again. And then he just made us really, really well organised. So we were playing 3-4-1-2, and we just basically was really, really resolute. We kind of stopped conceding goals. The confidence in the back line came back. And then we just started hitting teams on the counter, and we started picking up results. And then from there, it kind of like players' confidence improved. We got back to where we should be, because we have got a good squad. We've got a decent, solid League One squad. We don't have a lot of creativity, and we don't have very good strikers, but we have very good midfielders, a very good goalkeeper, and very good central defenders.
So has there been much turnover with players since Cottrell's come in, or has he managed to just take the same squad that Ricketts had and just change them and give them that confidence?
So in terms of like the back line, there's like Pennington we got on loan from Everton. We signed a lad called Nathaniel Ogbetta, who is a name to keep your eye on. I wouldn't be surprised. He'll definitely play Championship football. Mm-hmm. He might play Premier League football. And we signed him on a free transfer for Man City under-23s in January. Right. He's phenomenal. In the last two games, he's assisted two and scored one. Against St. Pompey, he decided to run forward and hit the ball on his right foot from outside the box, and it went in. He's absolutely phenomenal. He's 19, and he played for England under-20s when they won the World Cup. In the squad, he didn't actually start, but he's you know, a player of a high pedigree. And then also we signed Harry Chapman from Blackburn, who scored 6 goals. Now, he doesn't play every game, but he's scored, obviously, some really key goals. But the probably the best performers, the players that are already there. So Sean Goss, who was forced to train with the under-18s, was put back in the squad, and he's been fantastic. And then Josh Vella, Ollie Norburn, central defenders I've already mentioned. He also brought Donald Love back out from the cold as well. He was kind of sent to train with the kids as well. He's really improved. So it just comes down to Cottrell and Wilbraham being really, really good man management and getting the players improved and building their confidence.
See, that's really interesting, I think, Danny, because obviously, it's a similar situation that John Brady's had with us, albeit without a transfer window. Things have changed for the Cobblers since Keith Curl's days, but not to the extent, like nowhere near. The change that has happened at Shrewsbury this season is completely different to what has happened at Sixfields, I think.
Yeah, and I think, like Ollie was saying, it seems to be down to the players are already there having that quality in place and just them needing to eke, or Cottrell needing to eke it out of them. Whereas we haven't got as many or any baseline of a really good squad. I felt like under the previous manager, they just didn't come out of themselves or didn't play half as well as they could have done. They weren't set up properly by the sounds of it. But the quality has always been there deep down. So that comes to the fore under a good manager, doesn't it? So it's just we haven't got that to work with.
It's so upsetting, isn't it, when you put it like that? It really is upsetting. So should we go back and just revisit that game at Shrewsbury at the start of the season? One of Keith Curl's, you know, small amounts of wins that he got for us this season. Obviously, we've talked an awful lot about how even when we've won games this season, we've not particularly been, you know, brilliant to watch. And the win has kind of papered over a lot of the cracks most of the time. I'd be interested to know what your perspective on that game was, Ollie. What did you think of Northampton back then? And was it a game that you felt that you guys should have won and you lost it somehow to a poor team?
Yeah, I totally agree with that summary. A poor League One side. Looking at that game, I'm not surprised you're still in the relegation battle, even though you've changed manager. That was actually really funny, but that might sound a bit odd, but that's actually a bit of a bright spot from a performance point of view. because we absolutely dominated that game. We had nearly 70% possession and had 19 shots. But the trouble with Sam Ricketts' team is they just couldn't finish their dinner. We'd always concede, and we just couldn't score. Because we got so bored of saying the same things, we actually tried and we did a live pod. So we recorded the podcast watching the game live and edited it and put it out. And around that time, we played Ipswich. And I remember saying about the 80th minute, we're definitely going to concede here and lose the game. And we did. And that's just how we had absolutely zero confidence in the team. It feels like almost two seasons ago, that game. It feels such a long time ago. It kind of surprises me that I think that, you know, there's quite a few players from that team still here. So Ebanks, Landor, Williams, Sarsic, Vela, and Walker and Worley have all played recently, and Pike as well. Quite a few of them have moved on or not in the squad anymore. But yeah, it was a very, very frustrating game from a Shrewsbury fan's point of view. But it wasn't a surprise because, you know, by this point we thought that we might have to get a manager change, and we were in that waiting period. Mm. For me personally, we hadn't said quite yet that we want the manager to go, but we were getting very, very close to kind of making that kind of call.
So at the moment, you're sitting 17th in the league table. You've played 35 games. Just to put this in context, that's quite a bit less than the majority of the teams in the bottom half of the table. For example, we've played 38. So you've got three games still to play on us, and the likes of a few others as well. 46 points. Are you happy with where you are in the table? And also, the other question that I've got is that there's been a lot of talk for the last few weeks from our point of view of that basically it's four teams from seven who are in this relegation fight. And that basically takes us up to 18th and Burton. But you're only 5 points ahead of that. And I'm not saying that you are definitely in a relegation battle or not, but how do you feel about it? Are you still looking over your shoulder or not?
I am. My co-host on my podcast, Glenn, he's a bit more optimistic than me, but I'm still a little bit nervous because you guys know, you know, this division, you can fall very quickly. So two seasons ago, I remember Walsall fans joking and taking the mick out of us, saying, oh, look where you are. And they plummeted from quite high up all the way down and got down. So there's always a team that often sinks really fast. I'm not sure if it's going to happen this season. I'd probably, put that line. We played Burton last week and they didn't look very good. Got quite a few number of injuries now. But yeah, I would say I think we win two of our games in hand. I think we get over 50 points. I think we're safe. And as you said, we've got three games in hand, which hopefully should be enough for us to be safe.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it.
No, I don't think so either.
Based on what I've seen of the bottom seven teams that are awful, it is literally a mini league now. I don't think there's any chance of you getting
dragged. And I think probably Burton are probably safe as well.
Yeah, just about as well, I think, yeah.
I think Burton are
obviously... So annoying, that.
Yeah, you look at the team there, don't you? Like, there's a really good Swindon podcast I listen to occasionally, and it's interesting to get the vibe from their club. And they hate their manager. They don't seem to be particularly fond of their chairman. And I've heard some interesting stories from those guys in terms of what's going on with their squad. And that kind of club, that's not a good place to be, is it? When you've got a manager you really don't like, who's been calling players out going into the last few weeks. So maybe Swindon can do you a favour and go below you in the next few weeks.
Well, it would be the icing on the cake to get that, you know, anywhere near. I mean, I'm personally resigned to relegation. I don't know how you are, Danny. Yeah, I think you're still roller coastering it, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much resigned to it. it is odd because we were talking about this before we started that you look at us in 20th, and from the outside you think, oh, I've got a great fighting chance of staying up, and you look at everyone else dropping points. But it's just a quality issue. It's just I don't see where we go in that squad that's that's like good enough to stay up. But you never know. It might be one of those cases where four teams are worse than us.
I mean, it's also the case for me that you look at it and you go, right, it's so tight. So Rochdale are bottom on 32, but they've only played 36 games. Now consider they're 4 points behind us. So I know that they've they would have to actually win their games in hand, and that's not a given at all by any means. And I also don't know who those games in hand are going to be against for them. You know, for all I know, it could be Sunderland and Hull or, you know, any of the other big guys. So, I mean, there's no guarantee that they will win those games in hand, but you've not only have you got Rochdale that have got two games to play on us, but you've also got AFC Wimbledon as well, and they're on exactly the same points as us. So there's already, just looking at that, two clubs out of the four below us that are in the relegation zone that could pick up points simply for the fact that they've got more games to play, and, you know, until the end of the season. For me, I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know whether it's going to be the usual case of that last day of the season is going to be that same day for every single club. It's going to be hard to fit all of the games in that have got left to play, because we're so close to the end of the season now. I mean, okay, we've got, what, is it 8 games left? It's
got to go to the end, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I can see us sort of sitting there looking at it at the start of the day on that last game of the season, being relatively in the same position as we are now. And then all of a sudden it'll be, you know, we'll be bottom by the end of that 90 minutes. It would be such a cobbler's way of the season ending.
I was just looking at the last two games of the season, and yeah, Rochdale have got Doncaster Rovers and MK Dons, who are probably not going to have anything to play for. Mm-hmm. And you guys have got Blackpool and Sunderland, probably will have something to play for.
We've got a difficult run.
That's pretty heartbreaking for you guys.
You just want teams who have just given up the ghost of the season. Yeah, that's what you want at this stage, isn't it?
The one thing that I'll say, though, Danny, is that we have played better and we have won games against teams that are higher up the table and the ones that we're unexpected to win.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that it's definitely going to happen, but I mean, it's more likely, in the way that it's been, we're more likely to win those games, or at least pick up points in those games, than we are against, you know, the likes of Shrewsbury, who are around us. I know that you're still quite far away points-wise, but, you know, 3 places in the league above us. As soon as you put the word 6-pointer into a game, we collapse. So, and I mean, this isn't a 6-pointer by any stretch. Shrewsbury might as well be on Mars compared to where we are in the table, I think. But it's one of those where I just sort of wonder, is that where the glimmer of hope comes? The fact is that, well, who have we got left to play in the bottom 6? It's just Bristol Rovers, isn't it?
Just Bristol Rovers, yeah.
So that's one game that we'll probably lose. If we win all the others, we're up.
I'm still not there. I'm not with that optimism at all. But we'll see.
Your running is tough, isn't it?
It's really tough.
Hull,
yeah.
Posh, Ipswich, Gillingham.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's horrible.
Is it a case for you guys of just like consolidating now and just looking at what you can do for next season?
Yeah, most definitely. And it's interesting and probably not good news for your fans that we rested our 2 best players against Pompey.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't play Sean Worley, who's got 6 goals, and we didn't play Harry Chapman, who's got 6 goals. I didn't really think of anything at the time, but when we were doing the pod on the Sunday, I thought about it and I was like, that's quite interesting, actually. We rested them, and we've been doing a lot more rotation recently because we kind of played the same team, kind of burnt them out, and now we're rotating quite a bit. Mm. When you don't play your best 2 players, we've obviously important weekend coming up, bank holiday weekend coming up. Yeah, I think we did rest them with the kind of, because if we get those 3 points against you, we're on 49 points then, still with those games in hand. That puts you in a lot stronger position. And yeah, I think you're right. That's where Shrewsbury fans' heads are at the moment. Getting excited and looking forward to next season. Still with a little eye on the league table, but yeah, they're very much looking forward to next season and getting quite excited, to be honest.
Yeah, Aaron Pierre's back as well, isn't he?
He's back in training and running, so he might come back into the side. Yeah, we love Aaron Pierre, it's absolute colossus. And yeah, we haven't scored a goal from a set piece since he's been off injured. So yeah, it'd be good to see him back in the side.
I remember thinking that when Pierre moved, there were a lot of Cobblers fans, weren't there, Danny, that sort of went, well, what's that move? You know, Shrewsbury aren't, like I sort of said in the intro, that I don't see Shrewsbury as being any bigger than us as a football club. I think you've got a nicer stadium than we do. But what's your attendance, Ollie? Your maximum attendance you can get?
Maximum attendance is like 9,900 or something.
Yeah, so you've got about 1,000 extra seats or tickets, yeah, or whatever, you know, to give away than we do. So relatively speaking, I don't really think that the clubs are miles apart whatsoever.
I think in terms of structure of town and all that kind of stuff, I would agree with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your training ground is like and stuff, but we have invested a lot in our training grounds. We've got a really good training ground now, purpose-built one and things like that. So we have progressed as a club, and I think that helps us. I'm not sure what your training ground's like, but yeah, as a neutral, thinking of Northampton with your issues with your stadium and stuff, yeah, I understand. Yeah, from a size of a club and fan base and stuff, totally agree with you. Infrastructure-wise, we might be a little bit ahead of you at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, so our training position is that...
What's the training ground?
Yeah, what's the training ground? I mean, the clubs say, don't they? Because what have we got? We've got... is it a Moulton or is it the university? I can't remember
which one it is.
Yeah. So we basically, it's shared, or it's part of the college, but it is there and it is ours. And the club will argue that we do have our own training ground. It's just that we don't own the surroundings of it, if that makes sense. But it's us that paid money to get it up to scratch, so to speak. And, you know, we put the money in. So I always, you know, maybe I am just being a bit too happy-clappy, if you like. But, you know, I don't have any reason to sort of turn around and say, well, our training ground isn't up to standard, or it isn't, you know.
No, I do think it's quite a big thing, though, when you're looking at transfers like that. It's probably one of the key things that changes people, because you're going there every day, aren't you?
And if you're looking at it,
yeah, yeah.
And so in that case then, Danny, why don't the club admit that it's something that they could look at?
Don't have no idea. So ask them.
Well, we have. We've tried to, haven't we?
Clearly not like high priority at the moment, is it?
Probably maybe sunk about $1 million in.
Yeah, and Lincoln did the same after their cup run, didn't they, as well? I think they did.
Yeah, so that's when we sold Toto Nciala and John Nolan to Ipswich for $1.2 million. I think a lot of that money was sunk into the training ground, because it's the building, it's the drainage and all that kind of fun stuff.
That's interesting. So how did your fan base react to that? Because I presume that therefore, because I've got no issue with that, by the way. I think that's a really good way of doing it. Same way as what Lincoln did with their cup run, sinking their money into training facilities and all the other things that they did. They did loads. But what about the fans? Were there any fans that sort of went, well, actually, where's the money for the players, for the transfers?
It's really interesting you say that. Over the course of the last, probably like, I don't know, it's not 10 years. It's a nice, that would have been a nice round number, but probably the last like 6-8 years, I'd say the fan base has gone from kind of, saying to the chairman, where's the money? We need to sign some players, to actually being really, really proud that we're one of the best run clubs in the country. Mm. So we've got no debt. We did pre-COVID, we had at least $1.5 million in the bank of cash. And we know what we are. We know that we're a club that's not going to go to the wall. And we've got owned by a local businessman who's run the club since like for a long, long, long time. And the fans are quite proud. So the majority of fans don't mind that and see the benefit of it. And to be honest, it wasn't really a discussion point. I can't really remember many people really talking about it apart from, oh, it's great, we've got a new training ground. There was no, I'm sure there's a few people getting angry and stuff. But I guess what we've seen, and I think probably the Paul Hurst season has shown us that, the season when we finished third in League One, is that, you know, you can do it through good recruitment. And that's the sad thing about Sam Ricketts, is that we had a head of recruitment called Adam Henshaw, who helped us sign on loan Ben Godfrey, Dean Henderson. We signed players from like John Nolan, from who got relegated to Chesterfield. He helped us sign those players for that Paul Hurst team. Sam Ricketts didn't rate him, so Adam Henshaw went to Doncaster, and Doncaster haven't got a bad squad now. Mm. And this week, he's just got a job at Aston Villa as head of talent recruitment. So Sam Ricketts ripped up all that kind of stuff, all that kind of backroom stuff that we had. We've had to rebuild. So we've got a head of recruitment again now, and we've got analysts again now and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a bit of a resetting for us.
I think that brings us to something that's been talked about within our fan base. of late, well, this season really, has been about having that side of the sort of backroom staff as being more embedded with the club, if you like, so that, you know, the word technical director, I think, is what a few people call it. So rather than it being something that, or a position that the manager has the option to hire and fire, that would come down to the board. So I suppose almost like a bit like a director of football role used to sort of be. And I know that they weren't always particularly liked in this country. But actually, if Henshaw had been in a position where the manager wasn't the person that could hire or fire him, then he would have remained at the club and it would have been a case that, well, you know, part of the interview that saw Sam Ricketts get the job would have been, can you work with this guy? Yes or no? And if he to turn around in the thing and say, well, I don't think he's any good, I don't rate him, then he probably wouldn't have got the job because he'd have been working for him or at least alongside him, but he wouldn't have ever been able to turn around and say, right, well, actually, I don't want you. I want somebody else. So that's quite interesting, I think. And it points to another, you know, maybe way of looking at it, which is to say that position for the recruitment is actually a job role that is decided upon by the board of directors of the club rather than the playing staff.
Ours is a bit different. So, yeah, we had, like, I guess the role is almost just below. If you did an org chart, it'd probably be lower in terms of seniority than the manager. And that's how it worked with Paul Hurst. Also, he was there with John Askey. And then when Sam Ricketts came in, Sam Ricketts almost froze him out. And then he left because he was kind of almost like, I presume, being ignored. But we've got a head of recruitment who's actually a good friend and colleague and long-term colleague of Steve Cottrell. So he is kind of Steve Cottrell's man. So he was at, I can't remember who he was at Cambridge before he came to us. And obviously Cambridge are doing really well this season, so it seems to work. It's an interesting discussion, isn't it, for League One teams and League Two teams. How do you have that model without paying someone 100k a year to be a director of football? And I guess this kind of head of recruitment, stroke analyst, stroke kind of role is probably the hybrid way to go. And it's worked really well for us.
I also just want to go back very quickly. You mentioned that you have no debt. Is that literally that your balance sheet is completely, you know, there is no debt to anybody? There's no debt to the owner or anything like that?
Nothing. So we built the stadium by selling the Gay Meadow in the centre of Shrewsbury for like 13 million or something like that. We used that money to buy the land, build the stadium. We also got an FA grant to help build the stadium. And then since then, yeah, we've just had some good FA Cup runs and sold some players. We often do like a finance pod with a guy who's an accountant, and he even had the guy for the Price of Football.
And Kieran McGuire.
Kieran McGuire. We had him on as well and talking about Shrewsbury. And he often uses Accrington Stanley as the kind of more popular kind of good run club, but he always puts Burton and Shrewsbury in there as well. And yeah, literally in our balance sheet, you can see we had like a million in the bank, and we've got no debt. Obviously, I'm sure we have some debt in terms of buying players and stuff like that, probably paying Pierre off and things like that, that kind of debt. But literally, we don't owe anything, and there's no issues with shares or loans or anything like that. And lovely, that's why the fans are quite happy. Exactly. The fans are really happy. And because we've got a chairman who's run the club in the right way and he's a safe pair of hands, I guess that's then a risk long term because, he's not an elderly man, but he's not 35, let's put it that way. So there is a little bit of concern what might happen in the future.
Yeah, I think you are right, because obviously one of the things that we have at the moment, everything's going wrong in the fan, you know, from the fans' perspective. You know, the results aren't coming on the pitch, and therefore, and the East Stand isn't finished to the spec that anybody wanted. There's loads of other things that come out, you know, the fact that, you know, the balance sheet isn't at zero and all of this, that and the other is always then, you know, our chairman, Kelvin Thomas, has said a number of times, nobody ever mentions it when you win, but as soon as you lose, everything gets brought up. And I suppose in a way, there's nothing really to bring up if you're a Shrewsbury fan. You can just concentrate on the football.
Yeah, unless you're losing every week. And then the pressure does build up on the chairman. But yeah, it builds up from a choosing manager perspective rather than, yeah, anything else, which is positive. But fingers crossed, we need to do better as we are than this season. And yeah, we that's why fans are excited next year, because we should be in a, obviously COVID situation is going to be crazy. We don't know what the budgets are going to be, but we, I'd hope that we're going to be, you know, in a better position. Clubs like Shrewsbury, Northampton, Gillingham, these kind of clubs, I'd hope that we're in a, hopefully in just a bit of a better situation going into next season.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this game then at this weekend. What are your immediate thoughts when you look ahead at the fixture list and you see, right, Northampton away over the Easter weekend? What are you thinking? Are you literally just going, right, well, that's a win, we'll be fine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice little pause there, Ollie.
I do. I don't want to sound too arrogant, but yeah, I do.
Can I give you a quote from the Salopcast podcast this week, Charles?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Quite simply, Northampton are god-awful. We're definitely going to win.
Yeah.
I can't argue with it.
It's about right.
We should win. We should win. One of the things that we really struggled, and I really struggled with Sam Ricketts, is he had no tactics at all or in-game management, where we go into games now with a proper game plan and the game plan that normally works. And if it's not working, we'll make changes. Which is something that Sam Ricketts could never do. Never, ever. I can't remember any of the games when he was manager, he actually kind of did anything apart from bringing Jason Cummins on against Liverpool and he scored. But I'll give Jason Cummins the credit, not the manager, for that one. But yeah, we're really well prepared. I guess it could be a draw, but I'm going to say it now, but I would be surprised if we lost. I really would be surprised, especially as we rested our two best players against Pompey.
Yeah, you've got Plymouth at home on Monday as well. So yeah. It is a quick turnaround this weekend. Although, having said that, we've been doing Saturday, Tuesday for about 4 years at this moment in time. So it's probably no different to that. I mean, is that why you've rested those players? Was it just because you've got a couple of quick turnaround games coming up, do you think?
Yeah, I think it was just like Sean Worley's like 32, 33 now, and Harry Chapman's wasn't really playing. He's only playing under 23 football when he came to us in January. So yeah, I think it was just about rotating. And we played quite an uninspiring front line of Curtis Main and Ado, who are not goal scorers at all. And it was a bit of a strange lineup and very slow as well without those two guys in the team. So I think it was, resting. I don't know, maybe I'll be surprised if, you know, both of them don't start, but I guess it might be that he's planning ahead to Plymouth as well. But yeah, 3 points against you guys, as you said, would be really key for us in terms of points on the board.
Yeah. So what's the sort of style of play that Cottrell's got you playing? Is it similar to what he had when he was at Bristol City?
Not yet. I think we're a team in transition. When he first came in, he did try to like tell the players to try and play at the back. Pierre is the best passer of our central defenders. With him missing, we've really struggled for that. Against Rochdale, interestingly, we played some nice football in the second half and did a really nice passage of play and scored. And then against Charlton, we played some football as well. And we've been playing a bit more football. But fundamentally, we're a counter-attacking team. And that's where often we come unstuck against teams at the bottom, because we have more possession. And then we struggle to have that possession. So I think playing away at your gaff will help us, because just naturally, I presume that you'll probably try and dominate possession a bit more. We can play our natural game, which is counter-attacking. But yeah, I'm hoping there. But yeah, we are very much a counter-attacking team. That's how we score our best goals.
I think that's quite interesting, because with the way that John Brady's got us playing, we are looking to play more on the floor, aren't we, Danny? Looking to play a little bit more passing football than the route one that we had under Keith Curl. But
trying is the word, isn't it?
I just don't see it being... I can't see it personally. I think it'll be even if you look at like the stats in terms of possession and things like that. I think that'll look pretty even, especially up towards half time. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Shrewsbury come out at the end of the game with, you know, a much more dominant set of statistics than us, which may well actually, listening to what you've just said, Ollie, play into our hands a little bit. We've got obviously score, which won't happen in order to win it. But yeah, you never know. This is the thing, isn't it, with League One at the moment is that as down and out as I feel right now about the Cobblers and about how good we are, or bad we are, I should maybe say, every team can in this division can actually beat another team. And that's down to the fact that every team has an off day more often than maybe they do in other divisions this season.
Whoever scores first, if like Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank said this when we played them, Shrewsbury are not a team you want to go 1-0 down against. Mm-hmm. So if we get an early goal, we're just going to sit back, defend very, very well organised and just wait to hit you on the counter-attack. And that's how we've got our best results, through getting that early goal. And we got the early goal against MK Dons, and they just tried to play the ball at the back and gifted us three goals. So if we get an early goal, or like we did against Burton as well, we got an early goal there and then just defended, got a second goal, and then they scored a kind of bit of a consolation goal later on. But if we get that first goal, and as you guys have seen it, there's like Gillingham tonight, they got that one goal. One goal can often decide these games this season because it is such an odd season.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, let's finish up then with some predictions. Danny, I'll go to you first, mate. What are you thinking?
I think we should get a player sent off because Shrewsbury seems to struggle against 10 men.
Don't do that. Seriously, don't get a man sent off.
So let's get McWilliams battered into someone in the first 5 minutes because Shrewsbury seems to... Yeah, he seemed to struggle against 10 men. I think Marcus got sent off, didn't he, against for Portsmouth negation. Now he's suspended for the next three, which is Rochdale, Wigan and Burton. So that's not very helpful to us either. So I think let's get McWazza in there. First 5 minutes, 10 men, 0-0.
You do love getting players sent off against us as well. Remember that game in the promotions pushing season when one was that O'Toole guy tried to lamp Ogogo and got sent off. Yeah, and then also Sean Wally's got your left back sent off multiple times because he kept trying to kick him off the pitch. So there is a record. There is a theme here.
Yeah, so, you're right, actually.
Just get someone sent off in the first 5 minutes. We'll be right.
I'm going to be as optimistic as I possibly can and say that we will draw 1-1. I think we'll probably get the first goal, but you'll hit back fairly late on. I think we'll probably concede that equaliser in the last 10 minutes, around about sort of maybe the 84th, 85th minute, which is maybe a little bit too late for you to go on and grab the winner, he says. Fingers crossed, tapping lots of wood. But at the same time, it will knock the stuffing out of us completely and we won't have anywhere else to go because we'll have basically been hanging on for that lead for as long as we've had it without trying to attack again, knowing us. I'll go 1-1, which I think will be a decent result on paper. I mean, obviously, we need to win every game, really. But having consigned ourselves or myself to being relegated, I think 1-1 would be a decent result. What about you, Ollie? This is your opportunity to lay the smack down.
I'm going to stick with my prediction I did in my pod on Sunday and stay with 2-0 win to Shrewsbury.
Okay. That's not too bad then. I was expecting more like 5.
No, we don't score that many goals. I can see Harry Chapman coming back and scoring again. And he only scores long ranges. He scored one goal from like an inch off the line. And 5 from outside the box. So if he gets the ball near the edge of the box, that's not a good sign for you guys potentially.
Well, lovely. Well, look, Ollie, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you, mate. Thank you, Danny, for joining me as usual and being here. And thank you guys for listening. It's been fab having you for the preview show once more. We'll be back next week on Tuesday with It's All Cobblers to Me. Thanks very much for listening. See you soon. Goodbye.
The cup, there's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division One. Bring them on because we deserve it.
I'm Tom Cliff, Cobblers fan and proud owner of Track NN and Cafe Track. Track NN is a social enterprise set up in 2018 to support autistic people to access employment through training, support services and creating opportunities. Research showed that just 16% of autistic adults were in full-time employment, and this is something which we are going to change. We opened our cafe on the Market Square in Northampton in January 2019 as a place where individuals could work and develop their employability skills and also be a place where people were free to be themselves. Since opening the cafe in January 2019, we have supported 36 people into paid employment and created over 75 work experience placements and visits for individuals. Since the coronavirus outbreak, we've not been able to open Cafe Track to its full capacity, and we've instead taken our offering online. You can help support us by buying coffee virtually at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Your money goes to helping us to continue to create opportunities for autistic adults to gain employment.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.